Let me ask you something. Have you realized that what happens in your mind actually shows up in your reality? Are you living your dream life or your worry life? Welcome to the Dream Team Podcast, where we will reverse engineer what our wonderful and successful guests have done to create a life that they love. So you can too.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. We are back again for another Dream Team Life podcast. We're here tonight with a wonderful new guest, Candice Bax-Friesen. Now, I probably slaughtered that because she's got this lovely unusual name, but she's actually from Canada. And we're going to let her tell you all her secrets and a little bit about herself in a moment. We also have, of course, Marisa Manrique.
Hi, everybody.
Our manifestation expert. And we're going to get Candice to explain how she's living her dreams. And we're going to get her to tell all her secrets so that you can learn how to live your dreams too. So let's get into it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Candice.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. We love this. We love meeting people from all over the world. We just like get into the stories of it. So, Candice, tell us to begin with, what is it you're doing right now and why do you feel you're living your dreams? Let's start with where you are now.
Sure. So I'm a real estate agent in Canada, in Manitoba. And I've been a realtor for about 14 years. And I remember after about 6 months of being a realtor, my husband just looked at me and he said, "So this is it, eh?" I was like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "I could just see it on you that you love what you're doing. And this is it. You know, you've found what makes you happy." And so I think that's the number one thing is just, you know, often other people will see things that you don't because you're so wrapped up in what you're doing. But and then the other thing that I started doing about 5 years ago was money coaching in sort of conjunction with being a real estate agent. And I think, again, that kind of how I know that it fits and what you're doing what you love. Number one is that, you know, the days fly by and you're never exhausted. You know, like it's long days. I typically work 12-hour days. But I'm never exhausted. It's like, okay, next day, who can I touch? Who can I impact, right? By just going out in the world and doing what I'm supposed to do. And that's kind of my motto for life is, you know, be intentional. Life is short and make an impact every day. And I think if you're doing what you love, you'll know that you're in alignment and that you are living, you know, your dream life. Now, in saying that, obviously, nothing is perfect, right? Like, I have a child who has a disability, and there's struggles in every day. And I think we have to be real sometimes with that living a dream life is not living a perfect life. That doesn't exist. And we have to expect that we'll come across difficult times and we'll have hard times within our life. And not to, you know, get swayed by things like social media that make you feel sometimes inadequate because you just see perfection everywhere. But yeah, just knowing what your dream life is and being in alignment with what makes you happy.
Oh, beautifully said.
That's beautifully said. Yes, that's perfect because actually that's the most important part is like you can be having what seems like a very small life, but if you are completely in love with it, it's just what you need. And then, or the contrary, you can be that person that wants that big, intense, magic life, and that can be also something that you love as long as you are really enjoying it. So thank you for that. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm. So how did you, I want to go back now, and you said you started real estate 14 years ago. What got you into real estate? How did you discover that this was something that you was a passion for you?
Well, my husband and I were already doing real estate investing. And so we had some interest in that realm already. But I was like 25 when I started or 26. And I just thought like, who's going to buy a house for me? Like, yes, we have properties. I have my own home. But like, why would someone pick me over somebody who's been doing this for 30 years already, right? And so it never really crossed my mind to enter real estate. But a woman approached me and said, you know, and I've got a development that I'm looking to do, and I like to start a sales team. So would you want to be a realtor and join us? And so when we're looking at, when I was looking at the team aspect, I thought, okay, well, I'll work hard. I know that already, like, because that's just how I'm wired. But, you know, there's a little bit of a guarantee in that, you know, if something sells, you get a little piece of the pie, but you can still, so there's sort of that base, right? But then you can obviously work hard and grow from there. And so that was kind of what drew me to become a realtor. And of course, none of that ended up happening, the development or anything. But as again, life often is never a straight path or what you expect. But of course, very grateful that I got into it nonetheless.
So the, what I'm digging for, and I'm digging, I've got my shovel out here, is so did you go into the real estate because it was something that was going to make you money? It was your dream to acquire assets. You said you were doing real estate investing. So were you at this point like looking for abundant wealth? What was your driver in those earlier days?
Yeah, real estate was, I was looking for a career that was fulfilling. And so I was getting my Bachelor of Commerce at first, and I completed that degree at the university. I was going to become an accountant. And then after I finished my degree, I just thought, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I don't know if sitting behind a desk 24/7 is for me. So then I ended up getting into banking, just thinking it's still behind a desk, but just thinking that maybe
more exciting then maybe.
Yeah, the route that I wanted to go. And then I became a mortgage broker shortly after that because I was too entrepreneurial and I wanted to, you know, grow as fast as I can and not wait for somebody to promote me when they felt I was ready, right? And be in control. So, and then after about a year of mortgage brokering, then this came up. So
it was actually the perfect path because, you know, you had, you did it like perfect step by step. First understand the numbers, then understand the banking, then understand the mortgaging, and then understand the real estating. So perfect. Yeah. You were aware that you were doing it? Were you doing it just consciously or just?
No. That's the thing with life. You just never say never and you go after opportunities because you don't know, right? I didn't know that taking the bank, like that banking would lead to mortgage brokering. I didn't know mortgage brokering would be the perfect thing to know for being a real estate agent, but it just, life works out that way. And so people that you meet, you know, 20 years ago, now are going to be clients, all that kind of stuff. Right. So yeah, just thinking big picture in life and not getting, sidetracked by distractions, I guess, just being the best person you can be every day. And, you know, again, things that people you connect with today might be something that leads to business or different opportunities in life in general later on. Right.
Yeah, that's life works for us and we don't realize it. Even the obstacles sometimes can lead to stepping off to the left and then you meet someone you never would have met if that obstacle hadn't caused you to leave the path, you know. But it is funny, is you've got all the finance sort of asset accumulation, finance stuff, and of course real estate at the end of the day is one of the biggest assets we ever have, you know. It's the biggest thing. It sort of controls us if we don't control it. Lack of or having a big one, a mortgage, you know. So what do you love about your job right now?
I love being able to help people. And again, so many times it's like, obviously, you know, you do well along the way and yes, that plays into it, but the meaningful part is being able to sit there with people and help them through whatever they're going through. And so often people think real estate is the glitz and the glam and the shows on TV and flipping houses and all that good stuff. But it's, you know, it's sitting with people who are dying of cancer, who need to sell their home. It's people who are going through hard times with COVID maybe now, who have to sell their home or, you know, it's not always the fun transaction that people think it is, right? And so just being able to be there for people during those really hard times.
So it's beyond the actual sale. It's just the service. Yeah, so it's just the services that you found your niche on doing that. That's very nice. Yeah.
And I wonder, Marissa, if, as we often realize, when people find their way to serve, when they find their, I call it their path to purpose. And it's through, it's the thing that they can do that they're just, they're innately good at doing. So you, that's why I was asking you the question, Candice, because you see in your answer now, it's like you didn't just like fall into, you liked, you've been trying to serve, you're trying to look at yourself, serve yourself, but also serve others. And where it, where the two things cross is like X marks the spot. That's your sweet spot. That's where life is going to really work best for you. So that's absolutely amazing. Okay. Marissa, do you have any questions at this point?
Yes. When you were, you said in a moment that you just were trying to find, looking for a career that gave you like was fulfilling. What were you thinking when you said that, that intention? Were you thinking about numbers? Were you thinking about helping? So as Lisa so nicely said, the idea is that you were able to unite these two fronts, like the serving part and then finding the actual action that you were going to do.
Yeah.
How do you come across becoming a realtor? Because if it, if you know, for your husband to be able to say, oh, this is it, you know, mm-hmm. I would like to know a little bit about that, because I think lots of people need to find that to run away from the 8-hour a day job that they don't like.
Right. So at that point, I think it was just finding a career where I was making what I thought was good money, I suppose. But I think when you're 20, it's, you have different values and goals, right? And as you get older, things change. At that point I was looking for a career that, you know, I thought would make sense for me, obviously that I would like and that I would be good at, but also, you know, at that point it was more the financial part. But once I became a realtor, then that's more where I was like, wow, like I'm helping people in way bigger ways than I ever expected, right? And it's not just, oh yeah, sign the paper, you know, see you later, right? So for example, right now during COVID, our province is very, it's quite locked down. And so I might be the only person who's going in to see people, right, in their homes, because I'm still allowed to with my job. But, you know, people haven't had a lot of people down. And as much as we can connect via Zoom, a lot of people don't, because it's weird and, you know, they don't want to get used to new technology and stuff like that. So, you know, just be able to sit there and spend a little extra time chit-chatting is what people need right now, right? And so you can see, you know, if you're, if it's more than just about the real estate transaction and you're really intentionally listening and watching people, then you can pick up what their needs are and you can help fulfill people's needs and meet that, right? So I can, without somebody saying, I can sometimes pick up on the fact that, you know, they're struggling in their marriage or they're having financial issues or they need that chit-chat time. You know, so yeah, you can pick up a lot on people when that's what you do day in, day out, and you're dealing with people all day long, right? So sometimes,
yeah, but
sometimes people joke and they say, you know, sorry, like I didn't realize, like, I'm telling you all this stuff and you're not my counselor, right? But that's where, what it sort of becomes. And it's not a bad thing. It's just that you're being there for people.
Okay. But that's nice, because you could have been a counselor, but you weren't. You could have been, I don't know, a baker, but you weren't. Now you could have been, I don't know, a pilot, but you weren't. So do you know by any chance, was anything that you particularly enjoyed of doing that led you to more of a numbers, more of a financial thing? Any characteristic that you can recognize from yourself?
Yeah, well, I've always just been into numbers more than arts or English or whatever. So from school,
humanitarian arts? So is that how you call it?
Yeah, humanity? Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so it's ironic because you have actually done both. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from school already, I knew that I liked numbers. And so that's where helping people with real estate, it was easy to say, yeah, let's go over the numbers and let's figure this out. Right. Whereas, you know, something like crafting funnels or, you know, being really creative with advertising is not as much of my strong point. Right. And I don't sit there and just wait to be able to write marketing pieces. Right. So everyone has their strength. And I think you need to just know what your strength is and work with that and have people help you in areas that aren't your strength. Right. Mm-hmm.
So what you did was actually focus on your strength, which was numbers. And then that led you to accounting, I'm assuming.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to become an accountant originally was, you know, I saw my aunt as somebody to look up to in my family, and she had gone to post-secondary, you know, mm-hmm. education. And I knew that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't really have kids or getting married on my radar. I was pretty career driven and focused. And, you know, again, never say never, because I got married at 19 and I've got four kids.
Okay. When was it that you were in career family oriented if you married at 19?
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
After that, then.
Obviously, you met the right guy early in life, right? So.
Yeah. Oh, because you're still very young. So I know you're not 20, but you are very young still. Oh, that's so sweet. So tell us about the dream now. What is the dream now? Or do you have something coming up? Or what is it that you're working on?
Yeah, well, my big passion, I suppose, is, again, you know, when you see how you can help people, you know, helping people in their real estate transaction is great. But why I've really kind of recircled back to the money coaching part of it is, you know, people will say after you're sort of done the transaction, sometimes people are saying, like, you know, I can tell you know about money. Like, could I ask you some other questions, right? And they'd start asking about, you know, I'm getting inheritance. What do you think? And what should I do? And stuff like that. And so often when you're getting advice, you feel like, okay, well, is somebody trying to sell me something, right? So, okay, I'm going to learn about life insurance, but they want to sell me something. So it's just nice sometimes to have somebody independent to run ideas past or to help you make a plan, right? So my focus really, circling back to your question, my focus really is about legacy right now. And, you know, if you can help families get their financial peace figured out in their life, and there's usually less, conflict in marriages because that's a big part of a relationship is the money piece. Mm-hmm. And if you can get that figured out, you know, you have a stronger family unit, stronger families build stronger communities. And there's that ripple effect, right? So really just looking at legacy and creating the biggest impact that I can in the short time we have, right, on this mm-hmm. earth. So that's what it's all about.
You are clearly so much more than a real estate broker. And that's what I'm
so much
hearing.
More, yeah.
I mean, and isn't that interesting that that's a key aspect of your success is mm-hmm. that you are in service. You are there to help. I mean, just listen to you say, oh, I'm focusing on legacy. You know, what will happen about money? I mean, this is, I've never heard a real estate broker talk like this. I mean, maybe they do in Manitoba, but I tell you, no one I've ever worked with has.
Yeah, I don't even quite grasp the concept of what it is. But I think it's wonderful because it's not, as you were saying, it's not what can I sell? Because sometimes it happens to the people like in my line of work that are more of a spiritual thing. I know you have to leave a something and you will some moment sell something. But what you're doing is focusing, you found this need that someone has and wanted to help them. And then the sales part came. So then people really might connect and feel your honesty and your integrity on that approach. So that also is a quality that people will approach in part, I'm assuming, part of your success.
Yeah, it's just being real, I think, you know, like treating people like people, you know, and it's not just a sale. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, you know, you can have, it's just about caring for people and putting the person first, I think. And like I said, you could be a coach, you could be a car salesman, you could be, it doesn't matter what your career is, right? But if you actually care about people more than just, you know, yourself and your family, but really looking at like, what's the impact again? Like, I think we get so caught up in the day to day. And, you know, if we can just eliminate all the distractions and really look at like, why are we here? Right? In the end, none of it really matters, but what's your purpose? Like, why are you here? What, you know, what sets you apart from other people? What makes you get excited about things? You know, if trafficking, if you hear an article on trafficking and it like pulls on your heart, well, maybe that's what you should be focused on, like making a difference around trafficking. And everybody's got a different thing that sets them on fire, right? That sort of makes them come alive. And so, look at what that is and pursue it, right? Like, we're all here. We can all make a difference.
That's incredible. Funnily enough, just about trafficking, I just cited aside, I met someone the other day who specializes in equine assisted therapy for sex trafficked teens. Now that's pretty niche.
Yeah.
But that's amazing because she just knew this was her gift, working with animals. And then this was the group that she felt really cool to her. And because it's such a niche that it's very easy for her to just go in there. And I mean, wow. I mean, I've ride horses and I know lots of people who use horses all many different ways, but that was the first I heard that one. And that's mm-hmm. incredible. So yeah. And it's having that calling. You've had a calling, you know, and that's why you're fired up. You know, because you can see that what you're doing and you approach it differently. And I mean, I totally take my hat off to you. And, you know, in marketing, we talk about the new like trust factor, you know, mm-hmm. particularly in online marketing. They won't buy from you until they know, like, and trust you. And you're the epitome of that. But it's just because you're not looking at them as numbers. You're looking at them as people.
Yeah, and even though numbers was what took you there to them.
Yes, how ironic. Yes, even though you started with numbers, you ended up with people. But mm-hmm. you know, life is people, right? No matter whether you're on banking or real estate or bakeries or whatever, it's all about people.
Yeah.
So I want to, so you've manifested. So now we can sort of summate that you have now manifested. Yeah, you've manifested a life that you love in an area you love because you're committed to the service in an area that you want to make a difference in. And we also talk that we are manifesting everything in our life, whether we mean to or not. Now, you mentioned you've got four wonderful children. You also mentioned that life wasn't perfect. I think that was such a powerful and authentic thing to say, that you said that you actually have a son who has a disability. And so what is the lesson? What has he taught you? How has he, because everything has a lesson, everything helps if we're open to it, right?
Right.
So how has your son helped you also learn and grow to be who you are today?
Yeah, it's actually my daughter, but
sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, she was our firstborn, and so it was very, we were just kind of thrown into it, and we didn't really know ahead of time that she was going to have a disability. Like, you know, everything felt normal as a new mom, and you don't know any different if you haven't had any other children, right? But she was a normal size when she was born, all those kinds of things. So it took about 24 hours to realize, okay, something's not quite right here. And so long story short, I think from day one, when you realize, okay, this is not going to be, you know, a quote normal child, then, you know, you throw out the parenting book and you're like, whatever, you know, this isn't just a child that we're going to, as she needs help, then we're going to figure it out, right? And so it doesn't matter. It was speech therapy or physiotherapy and occupational therapy and all the different things that we've gone through. And more recently, she's had a back brace because she had a bit of a curvature of her spine. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it's like anything in life, right? You could have COVID, you could have a child with a disability, you could have marital breakdown, you could have a parent with cancer. You know, we all have things that we go through, and just recognizing, like I said, you know, life is not without struggles. So mm-hmm. we've got to have to pivot and change things and adjust and do what we need to do to be able to get through the challenges that we face.
Mm-hmm. All right. And let me ask you a little bit, because this is the part when we kind of flip a little bit the interview and we talk about the struggles, because the idea behind this podcast is that some people are kind of built and are kind of, it's very easy, quote unquote, because obviously it's not easy, but you just go with it and you hit the obstacle and you just go with it. But some people also have some areas in their lives that they just feel that they can't do it, that they can't achieve, that they can't turn it, that they can't transform it. And we also like to get that part of our guests' stories, because most people go through that with most everything. And actually the thing that they're really good at could be something that they feel is very tiny, like, I don't know, maybe cooking. Like for me, it's an impossibility, but for someone, they just enjoy it so much. But they have other things bigger that they think and believe that they can't. So they can't make cooking their masterpiece, for example. So tell us a little bit about your struggle. So do you have, we know about your daughter with disability, but I can see that you're so focused on that you don't see the hard part, you know, quote unquote again. What is the thing that you feel that you keep on, you know, that ball keeps rolling and you get a little bit better, but you can never get rid of? Maybe,
you know? We don't want to talk about these things. This is not something that an overachiever wants to talk about. And I think that again, if you have that mindset of like, I have to be perfect at everything, then that's what will hold you back. But recognizing, like you said, we all have something that we will never be good at, or we'll never achieve perfection around, you know. So I would say that keeping everything organized is not a strong suit of mine. And then I hire that out. Keeping my house super clean with four kids is not a strong point. My job takes me away from the house, like I said, 12 hours a day usually, right? Like, and being a real estate agent, it's all over the place. You know, you think your day is going like this and suddenly, oh, okay, that canceled, or oh, now that booked, like you're all over. And so that doesn't mean that I am home all the time for dinner. That doesn't mean that my house is super clean. I'm not here to clean it, right? So it's not necessarily, you can look at that as like, yeah, Candace, you're never going to be organized. But in my mind, what I tell myself is I can't have everything covered off. So what can I hire? Who can I get to help me, right? So my daughter with a disability, she needs exercise to thrive. So we have someone who helps her with that, right? So it's scheduled, and I for sure know it's happening, and it's not on me again. So I think sometimes, especially as moms, you can put all this extra weight on you, like, oh, I got to have this perfect for my kids. And, you know, do they have enough social stuff going on? Do they have sports? Are they reading enough? And it's just on and on, right?
But it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. If you have kids, you get it.
Tell us how you do it then, because you see, you seem to find a formula.
Yeah, well, I think that number one, our house is run as a team. So the kids are part of the team. And so, you know, whatever needs to get done, then we try and tackle that as a team. So you know how it is. If you're the only one cleaning the house, you could feel sorry for yourself. But if you're as a couple, if you both work on it together, so this is the same. So, okay, guys, we got to figure out this and this today. You know, who's making supper? Who's doing this? So the kids are learning a lot of those life skills as well. So an example, this weekend, we had somebody down for dinner. And I was like, sorry, my son who's 14, sorry, I'm not going to probably quite make it home on time. So here's kind of how to make the chicken and the salmon. And he had that piece taken care of, right?
Did you manage to do that at 14? Oh, my God. If I just throw that to my daughter, he'll go.
Yeah.
That face and no answer.
Yeah.
Well, actually not my daughter, because actually she usually cooks instead of me.
Yeah.
But, you know, just having her do it for me, you know, I'll get that teenage face. So how do you manage to do that?
Yeah, you got to start young. This has started when they were 3 or 4, right?
Wow.
And like, hey, you can take the role of the dishwasher and like, way to go. You did that, you know, way to go. Like you're an amazing child, right? And the positive motivation and reinforcement. Yeah. So I think that that's kind of how it's been. And it's like, hey guys, you know, like we're going to go on vacation, but that also means we have to work. Right. And just being real with kids and sort of including them in those conversations instead of keeping all that at a high level between yourself as partners, right? So
very important part of the whole package of living a life, because you love your career, you love what you do, but if you didn't have your support network, if you didn't have your team,
yeah,
you can't do it. So you know, it's a really key aspect, is you have to have
I do want to ask another hard question, if I'm allowed, just because I you know, I think I've struck gold, not because I want to put you on the spot, but completely the opposite. So is it that because you handle where your emotions, so you are more of a practical person, right? So that you, but I'm assuming you must have at some time or some moment felt guilt for not being with your kids, because I don't know, that's a mommy trait, you know, if you work 12 hour days, you have that struggle that you feel guilty because you're not with them. But then if you like your career so much that when you're with them, you want to be working. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that no matter what you do, like if I had to work, but I really want to stay, be a stay-at-home mom, then I would hate being at work because I'm not in alignment with what I want, right? And if I want to be a stay-at-home mom, but financially I have to work, then that's also really hard. So what I really tell people is, like, don't look at what your everybody else's expectation is on you. So if you're your mom or your mother-in-law is like, I think you should be a stay-at-home mom, or your husband, but you're like, you know, I really want to be working, right? To be, again, true to you and what you want, not what everybody else's expectation is. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's the tricky part. But when you're—
Yeah, that is the tricky part. So how do you do it? Because you could go, you could sit there and go crazy with the guilt.
Yeah.
So was there an action, a thought, a tool, something in particular that you did, or just, you know, cut the emotion?
Right. So my husband works as well, but not the crazy hours that I do. And that's another thing. Like, both people can't be gone all the time, right? Otherwise, your kids don't have any attention. So he's the one that's more with the kids, running them to hockey. We're in Canada. Hockey's big. So he's running them to the arena five evenings a week, right? Pre-COVID. He's sort of making sure the suppers are prepared or whatever needs to get done for the evening. Because my job is a lot of evenings and weekends. So, and we just kind of figure the day out as we go. So there's not this structure. It's like, okay, today, who needs to go where? Does everyone have enough food? Everyone's got clean clothes. You know, we've got everybody's pickups and drop-offs all covered. Kate, and let's go tackle the day. So it's not—
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's not planning ahead, you know, in huge ways. It's just trying to make sure, okay, we got today covered. First, things like meal planning are important, right? So, you know, I'm not saying that you don't plan anything, but, you know, just focusing on getting through the day and making sure you're really intentional about the day. Because again, when we're so focused ahead or we look back all the time in life, that can distract us from not living today. And that's where we can miss opportunities to impact people, right? So I could be in a Tim Hortons lineup, and if I'm just focused on everything else but just being present, I could miss an opportunity to be like, oh, you're short 10 cents, like, I'll cover your coffee, don't worry about it. Or chit-chatting with somebody in a lineup behind me, right? And just, again, like, we need to be intentional about being community and relating to others around us. When we're so self-focused, that's not the point of life. We need community. So,
And let me translate that to our audience, because I think this is just gold. So at least what I understand that you've said is that you do go through the struggle, or you have gone through the struggle of feeling the guilt of aligning your personal life with your career and your family life. But instead of dwelling on it, instead of sitting and complaining on it, instead of sitting there and feeling the pain and the guilt, what you've done is solve the problem. So at the moment that you were connected with a solution, and you've had this approach your whole life, you find a partner that was willing to confirm that thought.
Yeah.
And then you've created your own in-house team that is aligned with that thought and that action, right? So then because you have focused on the most important thing of life, which is living.
Yeah.
You know, so and you focus on your strength and not your weaknesses. And it's not that you don't take care of your weaknesses, it's that you get help for those.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And don't even bother of wasting, you know, that's a big word, wasting any time on that, just getting it solved.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I don't want it to sound like my kids are like little slaves. They really aren't.
But it's great teamwork. And I do the same. My kids do the dishes. They do their whatever they have to do. But it for me, for example, the problem is not them. The problem is me. I have to do so much work to not get the opposite of you, get caught up in there and the emotions and the guilt and the pain, you know? Yeah. So I really admire people like you that can just go, it's not like they don't feel anything. They feel everything the same. It's just that, oh, okay, I'm fed up with this. All right. I felt it. I have it. Okay. This is the solution.
Yeah. And that's what I've actually like taught my kids again from day one. As soon as they start to complain, I'm like, you know what? It doesn't help to complain about this. Like, what's the solution? Like, literally,
oh, right.
I say that all the time. And now they just know better. But when they were younger, you know, I'd just be like, well, whatever, what's the solution? You know, whatever your problem yeah. is. And they know, like, if they need something for me to buy something, mm-hmm. let's say for a project that they're working on or whatever that looks like, let me know and let's make it happen. Because if you need something, they're learning too, what's the solution, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And that's so key. I mean, I love that your languaging is very powerful, which is a key aspect of manifesting a life you love. Your languaging is solution oriented. It's about problem solving, you know, just listening, you know, when you hear yourself on this podcast, you go like, yeah, I'm really positive. And I'm really, you know, you're taking control, you're making it happen. And you're taking massive action to manifest a life you love through your team, with your own life, with their lives. I mean, no wonder that you're doing well, you know, it's no accident. And that's the whole point. You know, people think, oh, that she got lucky or she just got in something she loved and that's cool. And
because I'm sure it's not been easy.
It's never accidental. When you look back, there's little steps and you can see how the person got where they are, which is what we do, and it's brilliant. So thank you. You're a perfect example of how you're manifesting your wonderful life, and will manifest wonderful children's lives too, because you're giving them such an example.
And some of it is definitely, like, you know, working towards what you want, and you need to know, like, where you kind of want to get in life. I think that's a big problem, is that we're not really focused on, like, what do I actually want? But along the way, there's definitely just the blessings that come from it, right? And you can't predict certain things will happen. And, you know, ultimately, just to be thankful for everything that we're given and the opportunities that are out there, right? I could have been born in a country where there's no opportunity and I could be a slave right now, right? You know, like, we have to keep things in perspective that ultimately just being born in Canada alone is winning the lottery, right? So just keeping life in perspective that, you know, we've been given a gift, and what are we going to do about that for the people that don't have the same gift as us?
Beautifully put. Right, Marissa, do you have any more questions?
Yes, I have a little tiny question. I hope it's not too big. You don't have to give a big answer, but I really got interested. Was this the way you were raised? So this is the example that you had from your parents.
100%. I was, again, you know, you can't pick your parents. You can't pick how you're raised. And that was a huge blessing, too, that I had. You know, my parents had been married and together, and so there wasn't, and, you know, there was no abuse, there was no nothing, right? I had a great childhood. And again, you can't pick that, right? So obviously that's a huge advantage from the start, is having a really loving childhood, right? And my parents were entrepreneurs, my grandparents were entrepreneurs. So you learn a lot of lessons, not in reading books, but by example, right? And so things that are said and not said, obviously, right? And watching your parents go through struggles. And so I do think that that's something, again, that's a huge advantage, that I had parents that were entrepreneurial. And I hope, of course, that if my kids want to go that path, it's up to them. But if they want to go that path, that they've learned lessons watching my husband and I in our businesses as well.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. But because the good thing is that you are grateful for it, and you do see that this is a blessing, because not everybody is as lucky. And it's not that it's better or worse, because things are just, they just are the way they are, because, as you said, nobody picks their parents. Well, we do pick their parents, but that's a more spiritual conversation. But you, when you get here to this earth, this is what you have. And so this is the perfect example of making lemonade with the lemons that you get.
Thank you
for that. It was really nice.
Brilliant. Candice, thank you. I think we've kind of covered everything we need to cover. One last question, actually, is, so what is the intention and what are the dreams for the rest of your life?
I think, like, again, you know, things have gone well for us, and it gives you the opportunity to really think about that a lot. And so my main focus is really just legacy, right? Like, you know, I'm going to continue to work because I love what I do, but, you know, what can I do to make a bigger impact? And, you know, look at how you can create impact longer than you're alive on this earth, right? So just really keying in on that. And, you know, I think in life, we don't know where that's going to take us. Like, I don't know what's going to come up as something that I want to pursue, or something that's going to come up as an opportunity to help others in different organizations going forward. But that's, you know, when you know what you want to do and how you want to make an impact, then the opportunities are just going to start to show up. So just being open to that and keeping your eyes open. And, you know, sometimes you have to just verbalize it too, and just say to people, you know, I'm looking for a place to volunteer if you hear of anything, or that sort of thing, right? Yeah. And opportunities will arise. I know that. And it's just taking advantage of different opportunities to make a difference.
Wonderful. Beautifully said. And I mean, I look forward to, we're going to do follow-ups. We've decided, like, you know, in a couple of years, we're going to check in. Because we think that's really exciting, you know. Because, you know, you meet somebody, you go, what happened to them? Well, we've got the recording, right? We have recorded you now. We got it. We got the facts. So we're going to follow up on your homework. The, did you do a legacy? We're going to find out what you're doing. So we would love to touch base with you in a year or so and find out how you're doing. And I'm excited for you. And I'm excited for your family. Because I think what you're creating is beautiful. And it's just, and you're creating this generational thing. Like you said, you had a lovely family and you've created, you there's a generational legacy, an inheritance of good. And, you know, and I love what Marissa said, because I know I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, we choose our parents. So you chose to have this wonderful legacy position. Other people choose to be beaten, abused. you didn't choose that one. So you're a very sensible
spot. No, because she's in, because I'm sure that if we were, no, we're not going to get into that, obviously, but if you ever wanted, you know, if we were to go in more of a spiritual path and numbers and this and that, most likely she will be a soul that it's a mission to for someone else, you know, to build for someone else. Yeah. And that's what's leading this part. And the thing is that when you are connected with your intent, your mission, is when things seem effortless, you know, and that's the idea, to teach everybody that the people that are struggling with their emotions and the confusion and that they don't know, that's part of the process. And you just have to deal with it. You deal with it in whatever way you want. You ask for the help that you require, because that is the process. You know, that's what you're here for. And in that process, you most likely will find this that Candice found a long time ago, that is just serve, and she managed to do it through numbers, right? That's the idea. That's the main goal.
Yeah, you never figure it out in one day, right? We always want to figure it out right away, but that's just not how life works. And so sometimes you have to take that step, and then the next step is sort of unfolded, and then you keep going, and then, oh, wait, now I'm going over here, right? So there's no clear path in life for most people, but if you don't take that first step, you won't know what the next step is after that. Okay. And meeting the right person that leads to this or that, or, you know, so nobody reaches success alone. And that's why it's so key, again, to really, to keep talking to people, to keep reaching out to people, and ultimately just keep helping people. And all of that ends up coming back. So just be a good human.
Amazing. Yes, I love that. These are just like gold, you know. So you have to live step by step. Basically what you're saying is you've got to keep moving forward. You've got to have a dream. You've got to have I want to be happy, or I want to make a difference, or I want, you've got to have something, or even it could be the pursuit is I need to find out why I'm here, you know. And you just keep walking until you try this, you try that, you try this, you try that. You've got to keep trying things. Because you say, I don't know what to do, I'm going to sit here and work it out. No, you've got to go take action. So absolutely brilliant. Absolute copybook stuff. Thank you, Candice. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the Dream Team Life podcast. And we'll look forward to reaching
out as well. Yeah. Thank you for reaching out. And let's always keep in touch, and let's do that thing that we share each other's information, because I think your work can help a lot. So let's always do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone, Candice's information will be in the show notes because she's going to send it to me, Auntie Candice. And so anything that you, if people want to reach out to Candice, people from Manitoba, and you're looking for the perfect real estate person, I think you may have found her. So we'll have all her information so you can reach out to her in the show notes as always. And other than that, it is time for us to say, whatever you do, wherever you are, what's most important is that you live a life you love. Take care. It's lovely to meet you all. Everyone take care. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Team podcast. You can catch Lisa and Marissa every Monday and Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe and review, and dream on.